Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Conversations That Matter. Now, we've been telling you for a little while about this massive power grab coming down from the World Health Organization and, of course, the World Economic Forum. We are joined today by a very special guest, returning guest, Dr. Robert Malone, who's actually the man who broke the internet. When he went on Joe Rogan's podcast, it almost instantly became the most listened to podcast episode in all of human history. He has an incredible amount of credentials in medicine, in science. He holds numerous patents, and actually his work was absolutely key and critical to the mRNA vaccines that are circulating today. Today, we're not going to talk so much about the science, but we invited Dr. Malone on because he has also expressed concerns about what's happening at the World Health Organization. And he just put out a new article on his Substack, Child Sacrifice, WEF Power Grab. Dr. Malone, tell us what's going on in Switzerland. They're meeting late May at the World Economic Forum and at the World Health Organization. What are they plotting?
So it appears from the documents that we have a situation in which there is an attempt to consolidate power within the World Health Organization, which is closely allied with the World Economic Forum at this point. And there's basically a treaty that's been executed between them. And it's important to remember that the World Economic Forum and World Health Organization both have substantial ties to Bill Gates and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Bill Gates is one of the majors at the WEF, and he is also one of the major funders of the World Health Organization. I think last year he dropped $350 million in. So he's highly influential. He's attributed together with the Central Communist Party of China to have been the key influencer that led to Mr. Tedros's appointment originally and backed Mr. Tedros's, this is the director general of the World Health Organization, backed his unopposed reelection for a second term that occurred just recently. And to my eyes, from reading the documents and that of many of my peers, I've relied heavily on some of my European colleagues, particularly Tess Laurie and her group, that is building basically a parallel organization to the World Health Organization out of Bath, UK. I've relied on them and on my own analysis and many other writings for my understanding of the situation, which is that in early January, our government took two actions. One was to submit some proposed policy changes to the World Health Organization in terms of these health regulations and the World Health Organization Constitution that would concede a major additional power to the World Health Organization directly through the Director General. So this would be power ceded from the U.S. government and U.S. Constitution, and by extension proposed is power ceded to the World Health Organization from virtually all member states to allow Mr. Tedros or his replacement, should that occur, the authority to unilaterally suspend various rights and privileges of nation states as it relates to their operations under the guise of public health. And this includes the ability to basically implement World Health Organization guided, let's call them agents, individuals who would perform sampling and testing of various environmental sources, including wastewater and other things, in the event that there was a perception of a public health threat, which is undefined. The nature of the public health threat is undefined, so it could even be a mental health derived public health threat. It does not necessarily have to be an infectious disease public health threat. And on the basis of that surveillance and other advice which may come to the Director General of the World Health Organization, it would concede to the World Health Organization the authority to implement various measures such as lockdowns, masking, or any other measures that they would deem suitable in their perception as allowing a global threat mitigation. And we've seen the nature of the threat mitigation and management that the World Health Organization has advocated and implemented globally in close cooperation with the World Economic Forum, which has been a major advocate for these more draconian authoritarian policies, such as we saw deployed in Ottawa by Mr. Trudeau, and in New Zealand by the Prime Minister there, who is another World Health Organization, World Economic Forum young leader trainee, and by the Australian government. In all of these cases, we've seen very draconian measures that are now clearly documented as causing excess death and damaging global economies, with all of the consequences of suicide, economic damage, displacement, unemployment, economic consequences throughout the world. So the same people that have been responsible for these actions over the last 2 years, in cooperation and under the sponsorship of language promoted by the executive branch of the United States, now wish to implement a set of rules changes that will allow the World Economic Forum, the World Health Organization's Director General to, forgive me if I keep mixing the two up for some reason, it's unintentional, but certainly Freudian. Will allow this director general, based on public or confidential advice, which he may receive from a variety of sources, which could, for instance, include Mr. Gates, the highly tutored but not formally trained a monopolist that clearly seeks to control all aspects of world health these days, just as he once tried to control browsers or operating systems. It's the same person behaving in the same way, deploying the same types of strategies. But the logic is that in the event that Mr. Tedros receives compelling what he would deem to be compelling information from a variety of sources, confidential and public, that he believes that there's a sufficient threat, he can declare a public health emergency. The individual nation states apparently will have some period of time where they might be able to accept or reject that declaration. It's fairly short. And if they fail to reject that declaration, then the World Health Organization will be able to act unilaterally to suspend rights or implement policies to achieve what they believe is necessary to avert a global public health crisis. This is all couched in the logic that response to this pandemic, that this pandemic could have been averted if there was a sufficiently coordinated global health response, which in and of itself is a fallacy. We've all lived through it. We saw how highly infectious this was. There was nothing that was done that could avert the infectious pressure of this virus on the global population. But that's the thesis, is that if we only gave more power to the Director General of the World Health Organization, then this could have been prevented, and we can prevent any future pandemics. So of course, the corollary to this is that Mr. Tedros would be able to declare a need for universal vaccination and have the resources to deploy universal vaccination as he sees fit upon his determination that there was a global public health threat. Now,
Dr. Malone, we're going to go to break real quick just to throw in some words from our sponsors, and we will be right back after these messages. You have called this an impeachable offense by the Biden administration. I really want to dig into this on the other side of the break. So, folks, we will be right back with Conversations That Matter for the New American Magazine. Welcome back, folks, to Conversations That Matter. I'm your host, Alex Newman, and we're still with Dr. Robert Malone. He recently referred to this giant power grab by the World Health Organization and the Biden administration's involvement in it as an impeachable offense. Dr. Malone also recently wrote a fantastic cover story article in the New American Magazine exposing the Great Reset agenda. And he has been at the forefront of sounding the alarm about the danger of these policies, the danger of these power grabs, and the broader agenda. Dr. Malone, thanks again for sticking with us over that break. Please continue where you left off. Tell us about this threat that we're facing from the WHO and how we might deal with it.
So I referred to this as an impeachable offense. This is the basis for that statement. This is a unilateral attempt by the executive branch to implement a treaty functionally with the, and by the way, we do not have a current treaty per se with the World Health Organization. It was an agreement. We provided funding, but it is never our, the relationship of the United States government and the executive branch with the World Health Organization has never been formally reviewed and approved by Congress, which is necessary for implementing a treaty. The words treaty are being used in this context by the executive branch to make it seem in terms of the public communication as if this is the case. But if you go back to the source documents, there was never a treaty per se reviewed and approved by the Congress. And this gets back to the fundamentals of the US Constitution that are continually being breached by this administration. The source, the genesis and logic of my asserting that this does constitute an impeachable offense is that the executive of the United States, the POTUS, Mr. Biden, has executed a pledge to support the U.S. Constitution and defend it against all enemies, foreign and domestic, right? This is his oath of office. And in this case, Mr. Biden appears to be attempting with his executive branch and his party to unilaterally cede authority of over and above, which would supersede the U.S. Constitution in the event of a public health crisis as defined by however Mr. Tedros. And since we're speaking on this channel, let's be plain and blunt. Mr. Tedros is a Marxist. That's not hyperbole. Mr. Tedros fully admits that he is a Marxist. Mr. Tedros was put in place by Mr. Gates and the Chinese Central Communist Party. That is who he reflects and represents. That is his constituency. And Mr. Biden is seeking to confer upon Mr. Tedros the authority to suspend the Constitution in fundamental ways and allow a foreign entity, basically a surrogate world government. And please remember that the World Economic Forum is occasionally now referring to itself as a world government. And this is not hyperbole. There is an attempt by the Biden administration to create a structure that would allow this global organization to be able to step into the United States at any moment that it so determines, based on an undefined criteria that it believes constitutes a public health threat for the world, and to implement and have its way with our population, implement mandates for vaccines, suspend free speech. As you know, the World Health Organization has been a strong advocate from the very outset for censorship, a strong advocate for the Trusted News Initiative, a strong advocate for suppressing any scientific dialogue which would question the merits of the scientific and public health determinations and judgments being made by the World Health Organization. And the basis for my saying this about Mr. Biden is he and his administration are seeking through a variety of means to backdoor this arrangement. You'll notice there has been no press release, no public disclosure, no allowed discussion in the legacy media that is controlled by our government and by our intelligence community. This topic has been completely forbidden from discussion, except in the conservative media, such as we have here. And this will be voted on shortly. Now, fortunately, there is a substantial contingent of conservative barristers, essentially lawyers, that are qualified to speak before the Supreme Court and other higher federal courts that strongly dispute the position of the administration that they have the authority to execute what will functionally be a treaty without congressional review and a substantial majority in both houses to approve this. I believe it's both Senate and House that have to approve treaties. I'm not sure about that. I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah, Dr. Malone, we've only got a few minutes left in this segment, and I want to ask you a few things. You know, you have been exposing some of this for a very long time. Just before we started the show, we talked a little bit about the pandemic of the vaccinated. It seems like there's these surges, especially in the most highly vaccinated populations. And you're also just on the verge of releasing a new book published by Skyhorse Publishing on the lies my government told me and the better time ahead. Talk a little bit about how the WHO policies that were implemented over the last couple of years did or did not actually help solve the COVID crisis. What are some of these lies that the government told us? And are you really optimistic? You see better time ahead?
I'm trying to be optimistic. It's a little bit of a lift from time to time. I'm increasingly of the opinion that functionally we are going to have something akin to a second American Revolution. The words of the founders that gave rise to the American Enlightenment resonate and remain valid today. The logic that they have established in the founding of our country and the Constitution remains completely valid. And in my opinion, we have to recognize, you know, not in a jingoistic fashion, we have to deeply comprehend the meaning and logic of what they did and how they did it. And we have to fight against this logic that those statements and what was done back then are obsolete. And we now need to turn to a collectivist / Marxist ideal. In terms of the World Health Organization, we've spoken a little bit, probably longer than I should have, about what this new policy has to is proposing in terms of the role of the World Health Organization. It's important to note that the discussions about censorship and the use of propaganda and the exploitation of fear trace back to February and March of 2020. When the WHO took the lead advocating that we shall have censorship and we shall use propaganda in order to achieve their stated objectives about managing this outbreak. And we've seen the just this chronic litany of mismanagement, starting with masks, the lockdowns, the mandated vaccines, the ongoing push to vaccinate the world. We just had the White House's version of the Global COVID Summit, in which they're advocating that our taxpayers foot the bill for another $1 trillion of purchases of vaccines to inject the emerging economies. And as you noted, these vaccines, these genetic vaccines, are now more and more clearly established based on worldwide data, as well as recent CDC data, including from children, that there is a dose-dependent increase in risk of infection, death, and disease from Omicron associated with the vaccines. In other words, if you take one jab, you have a certain risk that's functionally equivalent to that of the unvaccinated. Two jabs, it's a little bit worse. We're talking about from the disease itself, let alone the adverse events from these. Three jabs, it's even higher. Four jabs, you not only have a cumulative risk of adverse events like myocarditis, stroke, CNS damage, potentially reproductive damage from the vaccine, but you also have an increasingly higher risk of infection, disease, and death compared to the unvaccinated. So the list of misrepresentations, to be as gentle as possible, or to be more blunt, lies that we've been told by both the World Health Organization and the Health and Human Services branch of our government, which has functionally become an enabler of inverted totalitarianism. We now have a government in which unelected bureaucrats are making major policy decisions on a routine basis in collusion with big business, particularly pharma. That is that meets the political scientist definition of inverted totalitarianism. These bureaucrats are not elected to make decisions. They are not supposed to be involved in policy. And yet we have the tail wagging the dog. And I think that it has a lot to do with the incompetence and weakness, particularly of this administration. And in the prior administration under Mr. Trump, I've spoken to multiple people who were in senior positions. And the play that was done by HHS, Tony Fauci, Deborah Birx, et cetera. Remember, Deborah Birx was trained by Tony Fauci. That's essentially one mind. Those people play this game where when a new executive comes in with a new administration that attempts to make changes within the HHS vertical, what they're told is, if you make these changes against our recommendations, any subsequent death and disease will be on your head. And this is a strategy that's used to bully and intimidate the executive branch, administration after administration after administration. So you asked me to kind of riff on this. I could talk about what I see as action items that we have to take. That'll probably take another 5 minutes. In the interim, I hope this gives you an overview. And the only way that I see that we do not end up in some sort of a totalitarian situation for a more prolonged period beyond what we're already experiencing is, number one, there has to be a wave election at the midterm. And number two, there has to be major turnover with the next presidential election. Number three, there has to be an ability of the executive branch, an enhanced ability of the executive branch to fire established longstanding bureaucrats and thereby be able to implement change, because basically this entrenched bureaucracy is acting as the decision makers for major public policy, and the HHS leadership has found that they can weaponize public health, as they are now proposing to do with the World Health Organization on an even greater scale. They're proposing to concede our autonomy as a nation state to a world government entity. And this is part and consistent with the overall agenda of the World Economic Forum to become a new world government. And the stated policy of the World Economic Forum in multiple documents has been to suppress the dominance of the United States in world politics, geopolitics, and restore what they see as a more appropriate multinational balance. This is a stated objective, and our POTUS, our current executive branch, is actively seeking to advance this. And it does go back to Obama. This is not crazy talk. Obama implemented a series of changes under his administration that has really set all this up, including the changes in the National Defense Act, which enabled the intelligence community to and the government to engage in domestic propaganda and control of legacy media. And they've done so. It's what they've done so illegally. And I strongly support the lawsuit of Jeff Landry about the collusion between the government and big tech. But somehow we have got, if we want to get out of this thing, if we want to maintain national autonomy, if you are the 10% of people that actually believe in living free, because it is only a subset, most of the population wants to be told what to do. But if you're in that subset that actually has the faith in yourself and the gumption to want to live as a free person and deal with the consequences of that as a lifestyle choice, if you believe in freedom, this is not hyperbole, you must act now. We must have a wave election at the midterm. And it is, that, as you know, Alex, this logic of we have two separate parties has broken down. So I direct your readers and your listeners to and viewers to the Malone Institute. So it's MaloneInstitute.org. And click on the website for World Economic Forum. And there you can download a massive spreadsheet that names all of the World Economic Forum trainees, five-year training program, young leaders, up until 2021. We don't have the class of 2022 yet, but they're all there, who they work for, where they come from, what nations they're in, what sectors they're in. And what if you do that and just search through the United States for politicians, you're going to be shocked. And they are on both sides of the fence.
Yeah, it truly is incredible how bipartisan, at least at the top levels, this has become. And, you know, just to add a little bit to that, the global health authorities are now calling climate change and racism and gun violence public health crises. This really seems to be just a blank check for these people. Dr. Malone, before we let you go, please, what are the best websites to find you? I know you've got your Substack. It's rwmalonemd.substack.com. How can people get your book? Is Amazon the best place to pre-order? Just tell us how to keep in touch with you and how to follow what you're doing.
Yeah, Amazon pre-order. Thank you very much for that push. I appreciate the drop there. I've been very happy with the Getter community. We're also on Gab, so those are both at RW Malone MD. There are a series of false accounts that have been set up on Twitter and on Telegraph in particular. Those are not me. They just have taken my name and my image, and they're exploiting it to sell, I don't know, nutritional supplements and stuff. But it's not my fault. So Getter, Gab, Substack, rwmalonemd.com, and now MaloneInstitute.org is the nonprofit. And we're also launching a new organization that is within the blockchain on a group called Roundtable, and it's DMED, as in decentralized medicine. And then finally, the group that I serve as president of is this International Alliance of Physicians and Medical Scientists. And our website is globalcovidsummit.org. And there we have Declaration 4, which came out 2 Mondays ago. It's quite hard hitting. And there's a detailed video press conference there where we lay those positions out. So that's a good start. But the Substack is where we put out our kind of front edge deeper thinking pieces, as well as cartoons on Friday and Sunday, which is, you know, we can't get away from. There's so much clamor that we put out our cartoons. we can't ever stop it. I think I'm locked into this until I'm in the ground. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Dr. Malone. We sure appreciate you taking the time to speak with us, sharing your insight, and thank you for being a voice for sanity and truth and freedom in these unbelievable times. We really appreciate it. We'll hope to get you back very soon.
Thank you, sir.
All righty, folks. That was Dr. Robert Malone, the one and only here on Conversations That Matter for the New American Magazine. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, God bless you all.